Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Gabe Nashville Studios on a Titans Monday following a disastrous Titans performance yesterday. And I got to say this, I try to keep my opinions to myself after the game ends. If you follow me on Twitter, at Jared Stillman, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see during a Titans game, I mean, it is live tweeting galore. It's almost like you're watching the game with me. It's like you're my dad who's sitting there listening to me complain about everything that the Titans do that I don't like, or celebrating everything the Titans do well, which we do a lot, and we are very happy at halftime. But then after the game's over, I usually try to keep my thoughts about the Titans to myself because I am paid by the radio station to deliver those 2 o'clock on a Monday. On a Titans Monday. But sometimes I listen, I read, I hear things in press conferences I don't like, I can't press tweet, don't do it, wait until the show. And yesterday after the Titans game, I heard a story or two, and I have got to get out in front of it right now. I have got to nip this in the bud right now, because the more things like this get said, the more people will believe it. So I heard 3 things yesterday after the Titans game from people that probably should know better, people who I don't want to say do know better, but I have to hope they know better. And I don't know if the Titans are trying to, you know, start their own Russian television. I don't know. So here was the first thing I heard today yesterday after the game that I couldn't believe it. Number one, Will Levis is basically a rookie. I heard that yesterday. Hey, we need to give Will Levis time. We need to give him this, that. He's basically a rookie. That sounds good in theory, but it's not true. Because he is, in fact, I don't know if you guys watched last season when he played quarterback for the Titans, he is not a rookie. He is a second-year quarterback. Anthony Richardson is 3 years younger than Will Levis. He played 4 games last season. And he is not a rookie. He needs to do better. Now, he played pretty well yesterday for Indianapolis. I didn't watch the game. I did see the incredible 70-yard touchdown pass he threw. And I saw he threw for another touchdown, and he ran for another touchdown. But again, like Anthony Richardson, he's not a rookie anymore. I didn't watch a Carolina Saints game, but if you're down 30-0 at halftime, you must stink. Bryce Young's not a rookie anymore, folks. I don't know how many snaps Bryce Young took compared to Anthony Richardson, to Will Levis, to C.J. Stroud. It doesn't matter. He's not a rookie. He is a second-year quarterback. And that performance yesterday was completely unacceptable for a second-year quarterback. And it's not just that he had a bad day. Because, yeah, Peyton Manning had bad days after year one. Tom Brady and Mike Vrabel's first season as the Titans coach had a bad day at Nissan Stadium. But did Peyton Manning after year one ever have incompetent days where he tried to throw a shovel pass 10 yards outside the numbers that got returned for a pick six while they were winning in the fourth quarter? Probably not. Example two of, again, this gaslighting. And I don't know where these people are bringing this. I heard this yesterday and almost ran my car off the road. The people in the building did not draft Will Levis. Ian, I heard that yesterday.
Who were they referring to?
I mean, you'd have to ask them. The people in the building did not draft Will Levis. Au contraire, mon frère. Because Rand Carthon was in the building when Will Levis was drafted. And Chad Brinker was in the building when Will Levis was drafted. Brian Callahan wasn't in the building, but Brian Callahan signed up for Will Levis. Part of the reason why they hired him, probably the reason that they hired him, was to coach Will Levis. And if you remember, the reporting from Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports, which was on Robbie and Rex Road, after the draft was, ownership, who is still in the building, I should add, ownership was the ones who wanted Will Levis. That was, I think, as Charles said, an ownership-driven pick. And that it was Vrabel and the coaching staff that didn't want Levis. They wanted to go get another player to help them win with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So I don't want to hear the people that didn't that drafted Will Levis aren't in the building. So, oh, no, you know, don't blame anybody anymore. It's all Vrabel's fault. You can't do that. That's not true. That's not true. And the third thing I heard yesterday, which was the most absurd, and considering that those first two are pretty absurd, this one I don't even know what to tell you. Tom Brady throws interceptions like that. Excuse me? Tom Brady throws interceptions like that. I didn't watch every game Tom Brady played. And not every game Tom Brady played was a good game. In fact, that first year, and really the first year and a half, it was the defense of the Patriots that carried the team, and Brady was a game manager. He threw for 150 yards in his first Super Bowl. But I've watched a lot of Tom Brady football, and I don't ever remember Tom Brady with a lead in the fourth quarter ever panicking and throwing a shovel pass 10 yards outside the numbers that cost his team the game. Ian, do you remember Tom Brady ever throwing a shovel pass in panic mode 10 yards up the field, not just outside the hash marks, but outside the numbers with his team winning in the fourth quarter?
Nothing comes to mind, but I could be missing something.
Anything's possible. But you know what's bad? When the guy who is credited with his most famous thing in this guy's life, no matter what he does, is the fact that he was the butt fumbler, is sitting there saying, oh, dear God. So stop making excuses for Will Levis. Stop making excuses for the Titans. It's bad enough that I have to hear all of this stuff during training camp. When Levis goes out there against Seattle on the 2 minute in the 2 minute drill and throws an interception, and that's it. And it's like, but it's just practice, Jared. It's bad enough. I told you guys after the first day of the Seattle practices, I said, if this were a game, what I saw at Seattle practice, if this were a game, you all would say Will Levis sucks. I saw it with my own eyes, and I said it. Oh no, that doesn't count. It's bad enough. It's bad enough that I have to hear that Bill Callahan will turn PT into a player. Ryan Day couldn't. Keith Carter couldn't. Jason Hoteling couldn't. But they're going to make PT a superstar. It's bad enough that I have to hear things that could conceivably be true. But then I have to hear, guys, it's okay that you just witnessed one of the single worst quarterback performances ever. It's okay because he's a rookie. It's fine. He's a rookie, which, again, that's a good story. Caleb Williams. I don't think Caleb Williams stinks. That was a terrible performance. He's a rookie. And so, okay, fine. Levis is a rookie. That's great. Except that he's not. The Titans are all in on Will Levis, and right now it's looking like a bad investment. And it's okay to call a spade a spade. It's okay. Most people in the local media do. But I heard those three things yesterday, and I literally could not believe it. I could not believe it. I'm sorry. Just, again, I think Titans fans are smarter than that. And not that I think that Titans fans are Einsteins, no disrespect to anybody out there. But I think Titans fans are smart enough to know when somebody looks at you and says, hey, it's okay, Will Levis is basically a rookie. You know he's not. And you know he's 25 years old. And you know that not every rookie starts 16, 17 games. Eli Manning didn't start every game as a rookie. It's okay. But this idea of just like, let's just pretend that what we saw yesterday didn't happen, that I can't go with. I cannot do this. It's okay. It's going to be fine. It's going to be – I can't do that. Not when a 25-year-old starting quarterback throws a shovel pass outside the numbers up right to a defensive back with a free lane to the end zone up by a point in the fourth quarter. It's unbelievable. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And so I always love the moving of the goalposts. Now, again, I don't think Titan fans are doing this. I think Titan fans are realistic, at least a lot of the ones I've talked to, realistic about what happened yesterday. But with the homerism, there is kind of a moving of the goalposts a little bit. It's not that bad, you know. Well, one Hall of Famer seemed to not be very happy with Will Levis after yesterday. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company on a Titans Monday and your phones, 1025-1063 the game.
Loading up that right side of the offensive line. On third down and six. Here they come. Borden's coming. Levis gets wrapped up. Flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play. And it was the former Titan DeMarcus Walker who got to the quarterback, wrapped Levis up, and Stevenson housed it for the first Bears lead of the game.
Well, it's all that pressure that gave DeMarcus Walker a chance on the edge. And Levis just falls right into his lap right there. You cannot make a bad play worse. But that's a cardinal sin right there for Will Levis. It's like pulling up to an intersection and you see police cars and sirens going off, road flares. You don't just go flying through the intersection. You slow down, kick on your hazards, and assess the situation before you make a bad accident worse.
Mark Sanchez, the butt fumbler, is like, you do not pull up to an intersection with the cops all over the place saying, yay, and run right into it. And that's what he did. Incompetent. I mean, that's what that was yesterday. So after the game was over, Ian, I don't know if you, what was your level of disgust after the game yesterday?
Oh, I mean, you could see it coming.
Just the collapse?
Yeah. You could start to see. It was starting to swing, and you could start to see it coming. The body language was not good. Just the look, everybody, every little mistake, it was just starting to compound. And you could kind of see it coming.
By the way, speaking of seeing it coming, Ian, what was my prediction on Friday for the final score of the game?
24-16.
I was off by 1 point. By the way, the pregame show, I said that, people on Twitter were like, you just want Titan fans to hate you. I'm like, no, that's what I think the game's going to be. And I was off by 1 point.
But, I mean, it was disappointing to see him blow it like that in the second half. Just completely have the wheels fall off with punt blocks and terrible interception returns. At least you would expect Caleb Williams to, like, break out and make maybe one play, you know, like one deep play. Oh, sure, over all this time it's going to break eventually. But that didn't even happen.
No. They sucked. And after it was over, my dad was basically like, turn it off. Turn off TV. I was like, but the Cowboys and the Browns, which I thought was going to be a good game, the Cowboys and the Browns are coming on. Like, don't you want to? He's like, turn it off.
I went outside and watered the flowers.
So you and my dad getting into old man stuff after the game's over. Don't want to watch the second game because the first game was so bad. So after that happened, as we were talking, Fox was running the highlights, you know, the little transition from one to the other.
Sure.
And Terry Bradshaw just unloads on Will Levis. Here's what Terry Bradshaw said on the Fox postgame show.
Caleb Williams, no offense pretty much in this game, none by the rookie, but Will Levis, the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Boy, this, with your team up, winning the football game, you cannot give this ball up. Just a really not, well, I don't want to say stupid, but that was extremely stupid. 43-yard interception returned by Steve. I know I said it because it should be said. 24-17, you don't do that. You just don't do that when you're winning on the road in a tough game like that.
I mean, Terry Bradshaw, if you saw him on the Fox desk, Terry Bradshaw was pissed.
Disgusted, huh?
Like, he was pissed. He was like, you do not do that. And it's like, again, what does Terry Bradshaw care about the Titans or Will Levis? If you ask Terry Bradshaw, as he walked in for work yesterday, you know, Terry works like 9 days out of the year because I don't think he's on every week. And Terry, I mean, God bless him, but he looks worse and worse by the week. If you had said to Terry Bradshaw, as he walked into work yesterday, who is the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans? I'm not sure Terry Bradshaw would have had an answer for you. I think he would have been like, well, they had Tannehill there for a bit. I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. You know, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick still. I don't know. Somebody. You know, that's it. And Terry Bradshaw after the game was like, you don't do that. Again, that's why if Levis comes out and plays better in future games, I will not be surprised because it's hard to play worse. But if Levis is ever going to be good, I have a hard time believing that after yesterday. Because, again, there's a difference between he made a mistake, he thought the linebacker was there, the linebacker wasn't there, and so all of a sudden, and that. Where Terry Bradshaw is like, again, I call this disqualifying behavior. You just don't do that. You don't do that. Up by 1 point, you know that. Brian Callahan said today that they said on the sideline, he said, don't do anything stupid. And then Levis goes and does that. And this goes back, again, to like the old saying, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen, which is basically a way of, for coach accountability, which is like, don't just blame the player. You know, Brian Callahan can sit there and tell Will Levis, hey, don't do something stupid over and over and over and over again. But if Will Levis is going to go out there and keep doing stupid things like not sliding and throwing shovel passes 15 yards outside the numbers, if he's going to keep doing that, then you have to take him out because he's not going to change. And then now it's been two coaches that have told Will Levis to slide and he still won't do it. So if you think all of a sudden Will Levis, when the bullets start flying, is going to grow a brain and start reacting, I mean, he's 25 years old, second-year quarterback. That's the problem. And even Terry Bradshaw sees it, who, again, I don't even think knew who was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the game. Also, when's the last time Terry Bradshaw had an opinion on the Titans? So, again, people are going to tell you, oh, it was one game. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, it's not that. It is the single worst Titan quarterback play I have ever seen. And I lived through Rusty Smith. And I lived through Zach Mettenberger. And I lived through Malik.
The Hurt Locker.
I lived through Malik. Last year, Malik jumped back in bounds against the Ravens under 2 minutes. And that was worse yesterday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jim is up next here on our program and has been waiting patiently. Jim, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello.
Jim, go.
Yeah, do you think that maybe Will Levis has Mahomes syndrome? He's watching all these trick shots, and he thinks that he can do them, and he can't.
I think you guys – see, here's my problem, and I understand what you're saying, Jim. Thank you for your call. There is nothing about Will Levis yesterday that has anything to do with Patrick Mahomes. Let's just get that out right now. But I actually think it's the opposite. Like, I think you think Levis thinks he's going to be able to pull off this shovel pass because Mahomes can do it. So if Mahomes can do it, I can do it, right? It's like the idea Dwayne Wade, after he saw Jordan in the finals against the Lakers, you know, with the around-the-world layup, Dwayne Wade went out in the backyard and started trying to do it kind of thing. I understand that line of thinking. I do not think Will Levis's brain is operating. I think he speeds himself up too fast. I don't think that brain is firing on those cylinders while those big plays are happening. So I don't think that he's like, oh, let me try this Mahomes play. I don't think he's doing that. I think it's just that's his natural reaction is he's just because he can't control himself. Again, I think Will Levis's brain knows, hey, buddy, we need to slide. We need to not get hit. We need to not take 18 shots a game. And then all of a sudden, his brain, when he's out there, it's not working, and he sees that linebacker, and his natural reaction is, let's take on Ray Lewis.
Like that flip pick, the pick six, it was pretty much like he's trying too hard, right, to make a play in that situation? I think he's like, you know, trying to complete the pass, I guess, trying to make a play. And I don't really know, you know, how to where that comes from totally.
I just think he's wound too tight. And I think that when his adrenaline starts popping, you know, FBI agents are trained to really learn how to compose themselves. They are, whenever, you know, the heat gets turned up, an FBI agent is trained on how to lower their heart rate with breathing techniques and to remember everything and write it down right away. You know, like that, there are certain techniques that, hey, you know, you've got to keep your cool as an FBI agent. You're undercover, you know, and things are going to get a little iffy. You're going to have to. And so Will Levis is the opposite of that, which is once that adrenaline starts going, that blood starts pumping, those bullets start flying, that game becomes real, all of a sudden his brain clicks off. And I think that happens with a lot of us. It's called autopilot. I will tell you, if there is something in my personal life that just takes over, I can do a radio show on autopilot where I can do the show and I know what I'm supposed to talk about that segment and I can take your phone calls and I can do that. And then after it's over, not remember a single thing that we talked about. It's just a natural reaction, reflection. Well, some guys, you know, with Brady, when the game got tough, he got tougher. With Mahomes, I think some of that natural dodging and weaving and throwing off the back foot and hitting the guy right in stride in the hands, and that's a natural God-given ability. It's like the Force in Star Wars, you know, the way he can do it. It just happens. And with Levis, when the going gets tough, his brain clicks off. Click. And that's not good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Maybe the only thing worse than the death pick from Levis was Levis's reaction to the death pick, which we've got to get to next. We'll do it. Stillman and Company, 615-737-1025 on a Titans Monday, 1025, 106 for the game.
Just see on the pick six and what do you think after you let it go?
Yeah, just a bonehead play. Just, I think, recency bias from getting away with it the last time I did in the game. Just trying to throw it in the dirt. Then when you're getting taken down, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to the ball as it comes out. I was really just trying to dirt it. And in that situation, you know, you try to handle it with a zero check or something. The first time bringing zero all game. And then, or just take the sack. It might be one of those times just to take the sack. So one of the things that, of a lot of things that I can learn from this game.
I can learn from this. I promise you. Just a bonehead mistake. Will Levis's explanation for the worst interception I've ever seen a Titans quarterback throw was, my bad. My bad, guys. Which is fine if you're a rookie. But he's not a rookie. He's a second-year quarterback. By the way, my favorite part of that cut that we just played right there when he was like, yeah, you know, I should have checked because they were going zero blitz and they hadn't gone zero blitz all day and I should have made the check and I should have. If you're a good quarterback in the NFL, your value to your franchise is roughly $100 million a season. Now, I know that the quarterbacks are getting paid $50 million, but Kansas City's about to get a new stadium and I'm not sure they would have been able to do that without Patrick Mahomes. So there is a certain value when you've got an elite quarterback. We all know it. PSL sales and ticket sales and TV revenue. It's not an accident that Mahomes and Lamar did a massive number on national TV the other night. So when Adam Amin, the play-by-play guy on Fox, sees the blitz before the snap and Will Levis is like, yeah, they hadn't gone zero blitz the whole game. I should have checked to that one. I should have, you're bad. Again, he's not a rookie anymore. And I thought that was almost as bad as the death pick. And you want to know what else? Ian, I honestly, and I saw it in Lifetime when it happened. If you watch Levis's reaction to the death pick, he's on his knees with his hands on his head in a surrender cobra in the middle of the field.
That's correct.
And is literally like, I saw that. I'm like, get your ass up and go chase after the guy.
At least no one lit him up.
Get your ass up and go run after the guy. Throw a pick like that, sit in the middle of the field and wallow about it. get your ass up and go run after the guy. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to Mitch, who's been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Mitch, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, last year I called in when they drafted Will Levis. I said I thought they drafted a backup quarterback, and you kind of lit into me and said that was stupid. And looking back, I kind of agree. But now I think it's even worse because I think they actually thought he was a starting quarterback, which means our upper part of the team sucks and decision-making sucks, and we might be in store for a Tennessee Vols-like run. It's like they switched places. But damn.
Here's what I'll say about the Levis backup thing. Thank you for your call, Mitch. I mean, Levis has starting quarterback traits. Like, Levis has things, the starting quarterback, that you cannot teach. So did Blake Bortles. And again, you know, Bill Polian's talked about this, and the old man used to talk about this, and there's a lot of guys that have the talent to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and can't do it. Vince Young's one of the most talented players I've ever seen on the Titans. I mean, Vince Young's pure talent carried Texas to a national championship. But it takes a little bit more than that. And that's, again, in the scouting process and the development process, and that's where you've got to figure those things out. Does this guy have it in him? Does this guy not have it in him? Now, when it comes to the decision-making and the league and everything else, the league told you what they thought of Levis when they didn't draft him. And that includes you. You drafted a guard who sucks. You drafted a guard over Will Levis. And that guard does stink and cannot pass block. So it wasn't like you loved him either. But I will say, I think there are a lot of people in upper management, maybe it's top, the owner, that might be looking at themselves today saying, oh, no. I don't know about that one. And look, we all make mistakes. And this would just be a bust. But, I mean, Levis has some starting quarterback traits for whatever that's worth. Let's go to Charlie, who is up next here on the program. Charlie, thank you for calling. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, man, Jordan Love's out. Malik Willis is in. Is that going to put more pressure on Rand's neck if Malik outplays Will Levis?
Boy, I don't want to – again, we don't do the whole, you know, somebody getting in trouble for something that hasn't happened yet. I know what you're asking. Charlie, good call. I know what you're asking, and I get it. I don't want to say, like, again, it's a week-to-week league. Last year, the Titans looked terrible against the Saints in week one. They came out and they beat the Chargers in overtime in week two. And then they, you know, went on the road, got housed in week three, and then they smoked Cincinnati in week four. So, again, it's a week-to-week league, and it'll be a new game next week against the Jets, no matter what the Jets do tonight against San Francisco, blah, blah, blah. But I feel pretty confident there's a pretty good chance Titans will be 0-2 going into the Green Bay game. And I not only think they're going to be 0-2 going into the Green Bay game, but I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback in Green Bay. You know, Diana reported yesterday that Green Bay has reached out to Tannehill, and Tannehill's looking for the right opportunity. And I don't think Tannehill, if Jordan Love's out 5 weeks, I don't think Tannehill's going to Green Bay to ride in there and shotgun in at quarterback and then get stuck holding a clipboard for the rest of the year. I think if Jordan Love had torn his ACL on that terrible turf in Brazil, then I think you might see Ryan Tannehill with the Green Bay Packers. But that leads me to the fact that I think it's probably more likely than not the Titans will be 0-2 going into Green Bay, and that it will be Malik that is going to be quarterbacking Green Bay going into week three. So if the Titans are 0-3 and the young quarterback looks that bad and Malik beats them, woo! Oh, my God. You know, there are some days, I told my dad yesterday, and I don't know how many of you were like at 2 o'clock said, all right, let's see what Jared has to say today. Could be a lot, could be a little, I don't know. My feel was yesterday after the game, I was like, there are going to be a lot of people that tune in at 2 o'clock. Ian, I bet you if they started off the year 0-3 and lost to Malik Willis, that 2 o'clock would be an all-timer on this radio program.
Oh, man. I can only hope.
I do not hope for that.
One can dream.
I do not hope for that, but my God, would that be something. That would be something. Jesse is up next here on the program. Jesse, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, see, he mentioned that Callahan signed on knowing that Levis was going to be his quarterback. So likewise for Ridley and Boyd, you know, they signed big contracts knowing that he was going to be their quarterback. So with how bad he played, and it's only the first game, do you think that this is shaking their confidence? And if so, do you think that that is going to affect their play at all?
So here's what I think about players in the NFL. I think they think the same things that you think. Now, they know they have a little bit more context to it. They know a little bit more detail. Jesse, thank you. They have a little bit more context. They know a little bit more, you know, of what's going on behind the scenes. And they're probably a little bit more, you know, benefit of the doubty than maybe I am. But I think the same things we think. Like, I think there's a lot of people that were flying on that plane back home yesterday thinking our quarterback might suck. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, Kaylin Kaler at ESPN was covering the game. She texted me some of these Simmons quotes. You know, Simmons was basically saying, we did our job on defense. I think it was Kaharski this morning was on Robbie and Joe, and he was like, Simmons was all smiles in the locker room after the game, and we did our job. And so I think that what happens is these guys feel the same way you feel. Remember when that story went viral about Zach Wilson's girlfriend dating one of his former teammates in college, and she came out on social media and said that Zach Wilson cheated on her with one of his mom's friends, and everybody was like, yo, Zach Wilson is a dog. And everybody, when he showed up for training camp, all the Jet players like, that's my guy right there. And then they realized that he was terrible. And all of a sudden, Garrett Wilson and everybody else, they were like, oh, God, why do we have to play with this guy? That's real. So I bet you there's a lot of Titans that are on that flight last night thinking, this guy might suck. So do I think the contracts affect Ridley and Boyd? And Boyd didn't sign a big contract. Do I think the contracts affect them? I doubt it. But I can promise you, if you think you're frustrated with the fact that Levis and Ridley couldn't connect in training camp and Levis and Ridley couldn't connect yesterday, and if you think you're frustrated about that, trust me, they are too. Look, I know they said, everybody said publicly that Treylon Burks, he's shown up every day and he's one of the best workers and he's going to have a good season and we're going to, they know he sucks. That's why they went out and signed two receivers. And that's why they threw him a ball 3 yards. Ian, did you see that yesterday? They just little pitch and catch to Burks, and he just drops the ball.
I mean, yeah, I saw it.
He sucks. They know. So I don't think it's like, you know, that the players are going to revolt or, you know, hold out because they don't like the quarterback. But I think the players are going to sit there and say, well, going to be a long season, boys. And I think that, you know, maybe they'll give him the benefit of the doubt the first week and say, hey, we had a bad game, we had it. But eventually, just like with Zach Wilson, I mean, teams lose confidence in players. 615-737-1025, we're back to your phones. Plus, the defense. I do have a thought on how the defense played yesterday, so we'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, the game.
Talk about the defense. How much you feel like they kept you in it, and how did you like the pressure they put on Williams throughout?
Yeah, I thought they did a fantastic job. I mean, they did their part. They played a winning performance, I felt like. I mean, I think at one point they had less than 100 yards into the third quarter, I think. But it was really well done. They played physical. They played aggressive. They made life hard for Caleb Williams to get any kind of rhythm going themselves. I mean, they were ultimately in the same spot we were on offense, and they found some touchdowns in other places, and we couldn't. And so they struggled. Our defense played well, and I was really, really happy to see that.
That was Brian Callahan talking about the defense. I did hear some of the chatter yesterday about, hey, if this defense plays that well, then you'll see. Jim Wyatt, God bless him. That's a good man right there. Nobody was a better reporter back in the day when he was at the Tennessean. Jim Wyatt, I saw he had a tweet out this morning that was like, the Titans had the best defense of any team in the league right now. And it's like, yeah, okay. So when it comes to the defense, they were fine. But I felt like more of the problem, like if I was fairly assessing the game, Would you say Chicago's defense was really good? Or would you say you kind of sucked? My gut would be that as a Titan fan, you would say you kind of sucked. Well, I think Chicago kind of sucked on offense. I mean, Caleb Williams missed passes all day. He missed a couple of bombs. Keenan Allen dropped a touchdown right before halftime, which I was stunned by because Keenan Allen, I didn't think he ever dropped the ball. He missed a couple of throws here and there. And again, it's not like the defense. The Chicago defense had a strip sack fumble recovery and a pick six. I don't know the fantasy football point scoring system.
24 points for the Bears defense. Thank you very much. I had them.
Are you just going to pick whoever the Titans are playing every week?
It was a strategy week one.
What is like, I take it 24 is pretty good?
24 is pretty good, yeah. I mean, you get a pick six and a punt block, two defensive and special teams touchdowns. That's pretty good.
And a strip sack.
And, yep, you get points for a sack, so. And a fumble.
Is Chicago's defense 1985 Mike Ditka, Buddy Ryan? You know the answer to that. Where were the Titans, by the way, with a pick six yesterday? Why did they not turn Chicago over? I mean, the only turnover they got was when Valus Jones kicked the ball 15 yards up the field and Julius Chestnut recovered it, which, again, talking about things I've never seen, I'm not sure I've ever seen that before either. Then again, this is that new for cock to kickoff rule anyway, so that's a little different. So, again...
It would have been nice for them to pick off one or two of those deflected passes. They had a couple of really nice deflected passes, and they're just up there. Got to grab one, at least one.
Ernest Jones had the one where he got dunked on by the tight end.
Yeah.
But again, when it comes to the defense, and I'm not saying the defense is bad or the defense was bad. I'm not saying that. But where was the mighty defense to force a turnover when all hell was breaking loose? You can't get off a punt. The quarterback's head's up his ass. Like, where's the mighty defense to force a fumble or to pick a pass off or to, you know, do what they did to get themselves back in the game? Where was that? And next week, when it comes to Caleb Williams missing some of those deep throws, and, you know, there was one where he had, you know, a guy open in zone and he threw it behind him and he's had balls that would hit the turf. And I promise you Aaron Rodgers ain't missing those throws. He might be 100. He ain't missing those throws next week. Ron is up next on what I think might be the single biggest bright spot of the defense. Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering what your opinion was on Devondre Sweat yesterday.
I thought Devondre Sweat was a dog. I mean, I thought Devondre Sweat, the big boy. Thank you, Ron. I thought the big boy. I think there's, and I said this during camp, and I meant it, and I stand by it. I think there's a chance he's better than Simmons at the end of the year. That by the end of the year, he is a better player than Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, Devondre Sweat, you cannot run the ball in his direction. I mean, he just gobbles up who's ever around him. And Brian Callahan today was talking about how he's getting in better shape. And he did get tired at the end of the game. But when your offense can't do anything, I guess, you know, it's not really his fault. Although they did have 35 minutes time of possession, which was pretty disappointing. But Devondre Sweat, to me, there are two players on defense that every time I watch them play, I put my, and I say salute. And Sweat's one of them. The other yesterday was McCreary. I think Roger McCreary is a very, very good defensive player. I thought Snead held his own against DJ Moore. You're not going to hold DJ Moore catchless.
Oh, yeah, he held him in check pretty good.
But DJ Moore did not do DJ Moore things. I was disappointed with Quandre Diggs yesterday.
He got leaped.
Don't think I got problems with him. And the run defense at times, I wasn't a fan. The best play on defense, so you know who probably made the best play on defense yesterday?
Ernie. Ernest Jones made that one good play where blew up the center and then deflected the pass.
Shelton, the guy that the Rams cut.
I'm just saying, he knocked that guy down.
I thought Coburn, you know, the one play where Caleb Williams and he chased his ass down. I thought, and then it was Sebastian Joseph Day finished it up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Coburn had a great play yesterday as well. But Devondre Sweat, I mean, of all the things that I complained about, you know, again, and we'll see if Devondre, you know, let's just hope he stays on the straight and narrow. But Devondre Sweat, I mean, he played like a bad boy. He did. Yes. Cedric is up next on our program. We haven't talked to Cedric in forever. Cedric, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Man, listen, dog. It's football season, so I love, man, calling you. Well, listen, when the coaching search was going on, and I told you, man, we did not need to hire this bum, and you were like, no, defensive coach. Well, now you get a first-time play caller. Y'all, the whole city of Nashville is blaming Will Levis when the two bums that need to be blamed for this loss is D.C. and B.C. Bill Callahan and the other head coach, Brian Callahan, whatever that dude's name is, when you're off 17-3, you run the freaking football. Nothing else, bro. You run the football. You got a first-time play caller who does not understand game management. You don't understand it. Hey, Jared, who's the best, most effective player on the field yesterday offensively? Who was it, bro?
Tony Pollard.
Did you say anything? Tony Pollard. So you mean to tell me this offensive guru who comes over here from the Cincinnati Bengals cannot find a way to get the ball to the most effective player on the field in the second half? You got no plays over there, but you're supposed to be an offensive guru? What you did yesterday, man, was get Will Levis murdered the same way that you and that bombing coach up in the Cincinnati Bengals get Joe Burrow murdered every year. There's no offensive game plan. There's no protection. You go 5 wide, and we cannot block the dag. Chicago Bears front.
I did have a problem with some of the 5 wide sets they were running yesterday.
It's garbage. I was sitting up there in the stands talking trash to those Chicago Bears bum fans up there. I got no voice, man. And this bum, Brian Callahan, looks just like Coach Meathead yesterday, man. So, God bless him. I'm out, man. I can't take it no more, Jared. I'll call you tomorrow, man. It's football season. Let's go, Jared. I love you, bro. Holler.
So let me just say this. I disagree with about 85% of what Cedric just said. I mean, I'm serious about that. You know, again, run, punt would have won you the game in the second half. The problem is that they couldn't get a punt off. So I am going to say that. Again, on the pick six play, Levis is standing in the shotgun, 3rd and 6. Clearly, Chicago's bringing everybody. The TV broadcast makes that abundantly clear. And Levis doesn't check and doesn't go hot. I mean, is that the coach's fault? Now, they'll say you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen, but this is the first time he's ever coached Will Levis. So, I'm not going to give the coach a pass, but I am going to say, like, I thought that there was a clear and obvious difference in play calling in the first half, and I do think that Chicago adjusted in the second half, and he didn't. Now, as far as Bill Callahan is concerned, I told you guys all offseason, they don't have a right tackle. And you said, but Bill Callahan will fix it. And I'm like, okay. I guess that's what we're going with here. So I'm not going to be upset about that one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company, 1025-106 for the game.